Mark 16. And let's quickly look at verse 15. Mark 16, 15. See what it says? It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. And he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned." It says, "And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name." Shall they what? Are we here? In my name shall they what? So let's read verse 17 together. Verse 16 together. Verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. "And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick." And they shall say, "They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." One more time. Say, "They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." Let's say it together one more time. "They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." Now let's say, "We shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." Say, "We shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." Say it together. "We shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." Say, "I will lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." Say, "I will lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." One more time. "I will lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover." Look at a neighbor and say, "You shall lay hands on the sick." Look for a neighbor that wishes you well. Say, "You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." "You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So he says, "You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." That's Jesus. You see, one thing you should have as a believer is believe Jesus amongst every other odds. Believe Jesus amongst every other thing. Together. Say, "I believe Jesus." Say, "I believe Jesus, and I love Jesus." Say, "Jesus is my Father. Jesus is my Father, and I trust his words, and I trust him." So it says, "We shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So we were looking at the series, Faith and Healing. And we started looking at faith on Sunday, having done a little background study on healing generally. And a few things we're able to come to a conclusion with is about how healing, physical healing, is a sign of what? The redemption, God's salvation plan, you know, and spiritual healing, so to say. And one of the things that we were able to establish as well is that proper Bible study enhances your knowledge, you know, about the things you've already received. Paul was saying in Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, he says, "And that the communication of what? Thy faith become what? Effectual by the word acknowledging of every good thing, which is what? In you, in where? In Christ Jesus." So I want us to pay attention to Luke. And one thing I want us to do this evening is, while paying attention to Luke, I want us to pay attention to a few things that were said and how he said them. And this is why, because, you know, Luke, what was his profession? He was a physician, right? He was a doctor, right? So imagine a doctor who is into the things of the spirit. It means there are certain things he will say on certain situations, and it will have an interjection, or you need to pay attention to his words generally. Are we together? So imagine if your doctor was someone who had faith in the power of God. Think about it. Imagine if you had a doctor. Imagine if maybe a relative of yours was sick, and you had a doctor who was so strong on the, you know, strong on relying on God's power. You know, you will need to pay attention to what he will say, because there are some things he will know by the Spirit. There are some things he could know by the Spirit. There are some things he will know by his study, by doctrine, and some things he will know by his profession. So having to have that blend, it means you need to pay attention to him. Hallelujah. So you could see a doctor, for instance, who, whilst he doesn't pay attention to doctrine, can see someone who is sick to the point of death and be like, "There's nothing we can do." Right? I can also see a doctor, while he's administering drugs to a person, he would say, "God's power is at work in you." Are we together? So if Luke is a doctor and Luke wrote about healing, it means that Luke will know something that other apostles who were not doctors might not have known. Are we here? So let's look at Luke a little. Look at Luke 4. Luke chapter 4 quickly. I want us to read a few scriptures this evening and pay attention to a few things this evening. So look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18.
Are you there?
Look for it. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because... Now, look at verse 16. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Are we here? Right? And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it is what? It was what? Written. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19, 1, 2, 3, go, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, 1, 2, 3, go, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were what? Fastening on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this what? Scripture fulfilled in your eyes. Say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. Now, pay close attention to what I'm about to show you. Now, what book did they hand over to Jesus? Prophet Isaiah, right? So it means that what Jesus quoted, we will see it in the writings of Isaiah. So go to Isaiah 61 quickly. Go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah. Are you there? Look at Isaiah 61 verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Are you there? Are we there? So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Are you looking into your Bibles? Because the Lord had what? Anointed me to what? To preach good tidings unto the what? Meek. Are we there? He had sent me to what? Bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim what? Liberty. Now, is this exactly what we read in Luke 4? Okay. To proclaim what? Liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are what? Bound. Verse 2. Now, let's read carefully. Verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and what? The day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. What's the difference between Luke 4 and Isaiah 61? There's no difference? Is that what you said? There's no difference? What's the difference? The day of vengeance of our God is in Isaiah, but it's not in Luke. So proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, what the Bible tell you in Luke? He shut the Bible. Right? He closed the Bible. Right? We'll pay attention to that in days to come. But there's something I want you to look at carefully. So Isaiah as a prophet will prophesy ahead things that will happen. Jesus as a prophet... Are we together? Do you think Jesus was a prophet? Look at Luke 24. Are you there? Look at verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? That's Jesus. Now, and they said unto him, concerning what? Jesus of Nazareth, which was a what? Which was a prophet. So was Jesus a prophet? So Jesus was a prophet. So did they mistake that about Jesus? They knew about Jesus, right? They knew that Jesus was a prophet. How do you suppose they knew that? We'll look at that in the name of Jesus. That's what we're doing hand in hand. So they would have known that from the writings of the prophets. Are we together? So now, in the real sense, there's something I want to pay attention to. Now, Luke writes from Isaiah what Jesus quoted from Isaiah. Are we here? In that Luke 24, see what he says in Luke 24. Look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the writings of Moses, in the what? Prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it was, behold Christ to what? Suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that what? Hold on. Let's read 47 together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Hold on. What Jesus asked them to preach, would the message of what he asked them to preach be the message of what he has done? Will what he asks them to preach be the message of what he has just done? Are we together? So what he has just done, so it means that you can know what he has just done by looking at what he asked them to preach. What did he ask them to preach? Repentance and what? Remission. So it means that what he has done will have to do with what? Sins. Are we here? Luke 24 is post-resurrection. Are we here? So go back to Luke 4. So it means that by extension, when you know what he says post-resurrection, you know what he did in the resurrection, and you know what he could have meant before the resurrection. Are you here? Are you here? We are knowing what he has... Now, so he says, go preach repentance and remission of sins. Chapter 40, 24, verse 47. Right? So what he asks them to preach will be in regards to what he has sorted, which is what? Remission of sins. So it means that that answer you will get after the resurrection will be the reason for the resurrection. Are we here? Are we here? What is the reason for the resurrection? Remission of what? Sins. Right? So after the resurrection, post-resurrection, the message will point to the resurrection, and by extension, we point to pre-resurrection. Because 44, we just read it. These are the words which I what? Spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things will be fulfilled which are written in the what? Writings of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets concerning me. So look at me, everyone. We have the post-resurrection. Post is just after. Are we together? You have the post-resurrection pointing to what? The resurrection. Pointing to pre-resurrection. And pointing to pre-resurrection. Because really, truly, everything from Moses to the resurrection is pre. You get that? So, it means that. So, let's separate pre and pre-pre. So, pre-pre will be Moses and the prophets and Psalms. While pre will be Jesus in his words. Right? So, post-resurrection, point to resurrection. Pre points to resurrection. Pre-pre points to what? Resurrection. So, it means that resurrection is the fulcrum of the message. Did you get that? So, when you admit that resurrection is the fulcrum of the writings of prophets, it means that resurrection is the fulcrum of the what? Teachings of Jesus after the resurrection. So that's important to note. The resurrection is the fulcrum of the message. Yeah, the word there, fulcrum, just means the hinge point or the center point or the main point. Yeah, the main point, the real point. So the resurrection is the fulcrum of the message that is to be preached. And that fulcrum deals with what? Remission of sins. Well, now wait to look for. Once you finish writing that. Are you there? Are you there? The resurrection is the what? The fulcrum of the message. So look at Luke 4. So it means that when you look at Jesus' teaching, by extension, you are looking at the teachings of the prophets. Are we together? So look at Luke 4. And Luke 4, verse what? 18. So let's read verse 18 again together, which we read earlier on. What does he say in verse 18? Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had what? Anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor. Now, that preaching the gospel to the poor, is that equal to remission of sin? Is that equal to preaching remission of sin? So, preaching the gospel to the poor, is it that the poor man will not be rich again? Or the poor man will be rich? The poor man there, is he a man that is materially poor? He's not. Right? What is the easiest litmus test to identify the poverty there? It's going to be based on what the fulcrum of the message post-resurrection is. You get that? After the resurrection, his message is about what? Sins. So, if he says that, preach the gospel to the poor, would that be a man in sin? Would that be a man in sin? Okay, let me ask this way. It is easier to answer this question. Could that be a man in sin? Could that be a man in sin? There's a difference. Could that be a man in sin? Sorry. Who is the message of repentance for? Use the phrase I use. Who is the message of the repentance for? A man in sin. So if he says, preach the gospel. Next verse, he says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Is that someone whose boyfriend broke her heart or whose girlfriend broke his heart? So brokenhearted will be related to the poor. Are us gather. So you have man in sin, you have poor, you have what? Broken hearted. Now it says to preach what? Deliverance to the captives. Are these people that witches are holding under the water? So the captives, would they be those who are in the bondage of Egypt? Are we together? Are we together? So bondage of Egypt, okay, let's say deliverance to the captive, gospel to the poor, heal the broken hearted. Are they the same WhatsApp group? Admin is one. Okay, beautiful, right? So it says what? And recovering of sight to the blind. Physical? It won't be right. It won't be right. So the next line now says that what? To set at liberty that them that are what? Bruised. And to do what? To preach the acceptable year of God. Now let's read verse 21 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he began to say unto them, this day. So it means that the message that Isaiah gave, that Jesus will preach, which Jesus preached, in the message, there was nothing about physical healing. Have we admitted that? We've explained Luke 4, verse 18, right? The poor, not physical. Blind, broken hearted, not physical. Blind, not physical. What again is there? Captive, not physical. What again? Bruised, not physical. Are we together? Are we here? Luke 24:47 doesn't say, and that repentance, remission of sin, and what? Physical healing should be preached in his name. Are we here? Were people healed? Yes. Was that the message? Is that the message? So from the lips of Isaiah, is the message of the... So remember, it's Isaiah that still wrote about how he was bruised for our what? Iniquity. And the same person that speaks about the message that we preached, which is naturally going to be found in the acceptable day of the Lord. Did you get that? So it means that the message of the gospel is about healing. So in Luke 4 and Isaiah 4, healing was used as a symbol to point your attention to what really happened. Yeah? Healing was used as symbols to point your attention to what really happened. So when it says broken hearted, your mind should not go to someone whose boyfriend or girlfriend broke a heart. When it says broken hearted, your mind should not go to someone whose heart is literally broken, that his heart has disease, heart disease. Are we together? Because the message of the gospel is going to heal the brokenhearted. Are we here? So that's Luke 4. So Luke has written this. I know it's interesting to know that Mark, Matthew, and John did not record Luke 4:18. Okay? So Luke is the only person that makes you see that part of his ministry, so to say, in that detail. Now look at Luke 5. We're going to the next chapter. Luke chapter 5. Are you in Luke 5? Look at Luke 5:17. Now you must have read Luke 4 before you get to Luke 5. Open your Bibles. Go to Luke chapter 5 verse 17. And it says, and it came to pass a certain day as he was what? What do you think he was teaching? The acceptable year of the Lord? Are you here? He was preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. That had to do with what? Remission of what? Sins. Okay, beautiful. So he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the what? Are we there? The power of the Lord was what? Present to what? Heal. What was he teaching? The acceptable year of the Lord. What was present to heal? The power of the Lord. What was he not preaching? The power of the Lord that is available to heal. Are you here? Are you here? What was he preaching? The acceptable year of the Lord. What was he not preaching? He was not preaching the power of God. But was the power of God ready to heal there? So it means that when God's word is taught, the power of God is present to what? To heal. Look at the next verse. Verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what means they can bring him because of the multitude, they went upon the house roof and the top. Now look at verse 20. And when he saw their what? Now remember we saw on Sunday, faith can be what? Seen. Are we here? Remember that Sunday? Faith can be what? Seen. So Jesus saw their faith. Say, Jesus saw their faith. And he said unto them, man, thy sins are what? And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is he that speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk. Who's writing this? A doctor. Who's writing this? A doctor. Beautiful. Right? He now says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath the what? Power. So, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath the power upon earth to what? Forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. Let's read verse 25 together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And immediately he rose up before them and took up there whereon he lay, and he departed to his own house for the Lord. So he says, your sins are forgiven. He now says, which of them is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk. Altogether. Now, eventually asks you, look at it now. Eventually asks him to arise. Did you see that in 24? Eventually said, arise and take up thy couch and go into the house. Now, it means that thy sins are forgiven, and rise up and walk. They are what? Related. It means you can find common grounds in both of them. Now, what was he doing from verse 18, from verse 17? He was what? Teaching. So this is Luke. I haven't seen Luke 4 quoting from Isaiah. We've seen Luke 5, the example of your sins are forgiven. Now look at Luke 6. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, 17. And he came down with them, put in the plain, and the company of disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea, and from the sea of the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and what? To be what? To be what? Healed of their what? Sicknesses. Now, what was he doing? A great multitude came to what? Hear him, and to be what? Healed. Now, when do you... Now, if you come for a meeting, when the word is taught, the power of God is already available to heal. Now, if after teaching, listen to me, everyone, don't sleep. If after teaching, the man of God, or the pastor that is teaching, now creates an atmosphere for miracles, when does the power of God become readily available to heal? While he was teaching. You get that? While he was teaching, the power was made available. So, it means that creating an atmosphere of miracle will just be an atmosphere to give direction to God's power, which was already available while he was what? Teaching. Are you here? Please don't lose me, okay? Look at Luke 6. Luke 6, 17. Now look at verse 18. It now says, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? Healed. And the whole multitude, verse 19, sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. You know the conversation of virtue? You know the conversation of virtue is a very interesting conversation you should have. You know, for instance, when you go to a place to go and minister, and after when you now finish ministering, you say the man of God, the pastor will just say, point your hands towards the man God has blessed, and you know, virtue has left. Is you virtue we live? You know, so the concept of virtue, it doesn't. Okay. So look at Luke 7. Look at Luke 7. Look at Luke 7, 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, verse 36, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisees' house and sat down to meet. Now, look at 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a what? Sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisees' house, she brought what? An alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of his head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with what? Ointment. Now 39, when the Pharisees, which he had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would he not know who and what manner of woman this is that touched him? For she is what? A sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one that owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love me most? And Simon answered and said unto him, I suppose that he to whom was forgiven the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto the woman, seest thou a woman? He says, see thou this woman, rather, I entered into thy house, thou givest me no water for my feet. Are we here? But she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. You know, you have to read this carefully because you look as if Jesus is looking for a kiss, looking for a wash. Read it carefully. Just read in the context, right? Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. You see where she kissed, though. Oh, yeah, man of God, now you are going to go to your sister's house. You say, I come in the unction of my pastor. Glory to God. What did she do? Look, check, Luke 7. What she do? She kissed. Yeah, the word there, kiss. Yeah, and you forget the defeat. Because you are dubious. Yeah. So he now says in verse 19, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are worth forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now verse 48 now says, and he said unto her, thy what? Dear sins. Did that woman come for sins to be forgiven? What made her sins to be forgiven? Not because she washed Jesus' leg. The washing of the leg is an expression of faith. Faith can be what? Can be seen, can be what? Heard, can be spoken. You get that? So what made her to forget, that he says your sins are forgiven, is not because she was washing his leg, cleaning his leg, and pouring out when. No. All of that is an expression of the faith of the heart. He now says what? And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is it that forgiveth sin? Can you see the same conversation that happened in the other time where we read? Like, who is it that forgiveth sins? And he said to the woman again, he says, thy faith has what? Saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. The word there saved is the word zozo. And it's a word that, you know, could mean peace, shalom, or what, really. The word there saved is zozo, and the word there peace is shalom. Are we together? So it says, thy faith has saved thee, right? Thy faith has saved thee. Now go in peace, like completeness, so to say, right? So it means that salvation, are we together? Peace, completeness, what again? What again? Forgiveness of what? Forgiveness of sins. Come again. Forgiveness of sins. Salvation. Completeness. Wholeness. What again? Peace. Are they all found in the same Telegram group? The first one was WhatsApp, right? They're all found in the same group, right? All together. So, he says, thy sins are forgiven. What did she do? There was an expression. Remember, if you read the story we started reading, he started saying that she heard that Jesus was coming, and because of that, that prompted her to do whatever she had to do. Now, that's Luke 7. Now, look at Luke 8. What now? In the parable Jesus gave Peter, what is the theme of that parable? Eh? We just read the parable. Now, what do you say the theme is? See, when you want to talk, talk like a minister. And that's a minister. What you want to talk? Sister Negi, say what you said. You are still talking like, forgiveness. You are not, either you are wrong or not right. Talk like an able minister. Say, I've been called. I've been called. And it's not flash, they flash you. I say you've been called, you are talking as if it's flash, they flash you. Say, I've been called. I've been called into ministry. It's not by this. It's what I want to hear from you. So now, what did we say is the theme of the parable? Forgiveness. Think about it. The woman came and was washing and doing all those things that people do. And he now brings the parable of forgiveness. So it means that when he says thy sins are forgiven, he says, and thy faith has made you saved, go in peace. They are all related to what? The forgiveness that he gave in the parable. Remember, Jesus will talk in parables because of the hardness of the heart of people he's dealing with. Please don't lose me. Look at the next chapter. Look at Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 47. Look at Luke 8, 43. And a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, which has spent all her livings upon physicians. Now, for her to be able to afford going to give physicians money for issue of blood, it means she most likely had money. There was no insurance, so. Are we together? She had spent for 12 years dealing with blood. Who is writing this? Luke. Don't miss that point. Now, neither could be healed of any. He now says in verse 44, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, who what touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou who touched me? You know, that's one of the ways of saying, Jesus, should they have common sense? That's the Lord, that's their Lord and Savior. Are you saying that Jesus did not know that people were plenty around? You have to point attention to the people that are plenty around? What a way to talk. Thank God, God forgives. If you're some of you now, what audacity. Do you know if I'm keeping quiet? And Jesus said, someone had touched me, for I perceive a virtue had gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith had made thee whole. Is that equal to thy faith has saved thee? In Luke 7, thy faith has made you what? Whole. Go in what? Peace. Look at chapter 14. Now look at Luke 14, verse 4. Luke 14, 4. And they held their peace, and he took him, and he healed them, and let them go, and answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ox or an oxen falling into a pit and will not straightaway pull him out on the Sabbath? And they could not answer him again of this. And he put for a parable to those how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidding, or so if you read that narrative, look at verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they that watched him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had a what? The dropsy. And Jesus spoke unto them in prayer. So Jesus healed that guy. Who wrote that again? Luke. Now look at Luke 17:15. Luke 17:15. We're looking at what Luke wrote. Look at Luke 17:15. They will pay attention to a few things in all of this. Did you notice that in all of what we've read, we've seen sin in the conversation? Have you noticed that? Have you truly noticed that? Not because hope you've noticed it. Not because you think that what I'm expecting to hear. Now look at Luke 17, verse 15. If you've not noticed it before, notice this one. Now look at verse 13. And it says what? And he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were what? Lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thyself unto what? The priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were what? Cleansed. They were cleansed. That means it was as they went, they were what? Cleansed, right? Beautiful. He now says what? And one of them which he saw that he was healed turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down to the face of the feet, giving him thanks. And he was the what? Let's read verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Jesus answering said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found. Now, see, Jesus had an assurance that the 10 of them would have been cleansed. Remember, 9 of them did not come back for confirmation. Right? So it was as Jesus spoke it that he knew something had happened. Are we together? That was similar to the issue of the tree. That was why when he was coming back from the tree, what did he do? He didn't bother to check what happened to the tree. It was disciples that now went there and say, see what you said to the tree, or see the tree you spoke to. Are we looking here? So he said that what? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. The word there is save the stranger, is accept this stranger. Let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Is that in regards to sin? Thy faith has made thee whole. Is that in regards to sin? Will this whole be in regards to salvation? Complete. Remember we said something about what whole? Complete. Earlier on together. Forgiveness of sins. Are we together? So thy sins have made thee whole. Is that forgiveness of sins? Think about it now. Was it when Jesus said, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Was it when he said that that he became healed physically? No, now. So it means that the whole will be a conversation different from physical healing, because he has sorted out the physical healing for 10 of them before one came back. Are you here? So it means if we read all of this and see the narrative of healing and see sin or wholeness found one way or the other, it means that when you now get to Luke 24, verse 47, 44, 47, it means that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached, will be seen as preached when all those healings happened across the book of Luke. Did you get what I said? No. Okay. Right. This is what I said. Now, Jesus in Luke 24, 48 says that repentance and remission of sin should be what? Preached. Now, in 44, he says, the words I spoke unto you, that the words which was fulfilled are written by the what? Prophets, the Psalms, and all of that. Now, we go to Luke 17, we go to Luke 8, Luke 14, and all of that. And he now says that, he says that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached. Now, that, we started his teaching by saying, that is the post-resurrection message, pointing to the what? Resurrection. All these signs and wonders, were they pre-resurrection? And in each of them, did you see something said? And did you see that something that was said had to do with sins? So it means that whilst people were healed, there was a supernatural, or rather, there was a higher level of healing he was supplying by his teachings. Altogether. So people will receive that level of healing by when they listen to him, when he teaches, and faith meeting in their heart and they believe. Remember, all these things we are reading from chapter 5 to chapter 6 did not happen in 10 days. Remember, it didn't happen in 10 days. It's over the space of time. Luke is carefully, I want to show you something. Luke is carefully writing what you are seeing. In the post-resurrection, we see Jesus tells you that, oh, the words I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, right? They are the words which were spoken by the prophet. He now says that, okay, in the real sense, it is the repentance. Now, he says, written in the scriptures, thus it behove Christ to suffer these things that ye see, and to what? Enter into glory and rise on the third day, rather. Right? Now says, and that what? Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Are we here? So it means that if we are to preach forgiveness of sins, it means that forgiveness of sins should be your attention in the writings of those miracles. Are you here? It means that forgiveness of sin should be your attention. In, remember, he told you that the words I speak unto you while I was yet with you. Is that pre-resurrection? Post-resurrection, he now tells you what? Repentance of sin, remission of sin, repentance and remission of sin should be what? Preached. So it means that in all of the healings you will see, your attention should be on what is preached and what is to be preached. And not necessarily what happens. Whilst what happens is beautiful. When people healed, was their healing figurative? Were they figurative? Can you be figuratively healed? They were literally healed. Are we together? So, the message to be preached in the resurrection, Jesus makes it plain. Repentance, remission of sin should be preached in his name. These are the words I spoke to you while I was yet with you. These same words I spoke to you while I was yet with you. So it means before the resurrection, the message will be the message after the resurrection, which is going to be the message of the resurrection. Did you get that? The message after the resurrection, the message before the resurrection is the message of the resurrection. Say it one more time. The message after the resurrection, let's say it together. The message after the resurrection and the message before the resurrection is the message of what? The resurrection. So where should your attention be in the writings of Luke when he speaks about healing? Just look at the part where he will say, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy sins are forgiven. Are we together? Because on no account will you be permitted to preach the healing in place of the message. Are you here? On no account will you be allowed to, or should you be allowed to substitute the message or the testimonies of the healing with the testimony of, because the message is the message. Say the message is the message. Are we here? So it means that by extension, listen to me everyone, by extension, when we now go back to Isaiah, when it says, by his stripes we are healed, where should your attention be? The message of the resurrection. We started there now. Post-resurrection points to the resurrection. Pre-resurrection points to the resurrection. Pre-resurrection points to what? So Isaiah as a pre-pre. When it says, by his stripes we are healed, we'll point to what? So see how Peter now writes that. Right? So Peter will write the book of 1 Peter having attended the post-resurrection seminar. You get that? So go look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter. First Peter 2. Are you there? Please follow me attentively, okay? 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged what? Righteously. Now, let's read 24 together, carefully. 1, 2, 3, go. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. What did Peter tell you Jesus bore on the tree? Our what? Sins. Remember, that our sin, is that what Jesus said should be preached post-resurrection? Is that what Jesus preached pre-resurrection? Is that what Isaiah preached pre-resurrection? Are you following? So, it says, he bore our sins in our body. Now, do you suppose that Isaiah can put sickness in place of sins? Are you here? So if Isaiah put sickness in place of sin, is that sickness as parable for sin? You're following, right? So sickness, so he says, who his own self bore our sickness? Is that right? But as Peter makes it clear, having attended 40 days post-resurrection seminar. You see, in the teachings of Jesus in 40 days, he was so clear. Whilst you experience lots of parables before the resurrection, in the teaching of it, he was clear. Now, he says, let's read 24 again. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto what? Righteousness. So can we say, we being dead to sickness should live unto healing? Are you there? Are you there? What did he bear on his body? Sin, that is sickness as parable for sin. So when it says being dead to sickness, are you there? Are you there? Should live unto what? Righteousness, that is healing, by his what? So did Peter, in the entire writing of that Peter, write about physical healing? What did Jesus bear on his body? Sins. What should be preached in the resurrection? Remission of sins. Altogether. So what did he now tell you in verse, in the next verse? He now says, by whose stripes you are healed. Why do you suppose he will use healed? Because sickness would have been a parable in his student's mind from time. So, it's expected that we have done what we've done this evening before so that we understand that sickness should be a parable in Bible terms. Whilst people are physically healed from their what? Physical sickness. So, Peter tells you, he says his sins he bore on his body. And you know that if Peter had written sickness here, you know, a lot of us will struggle with it. A lot of us will struggle with it. Are you there? When I mean struggle, it means that it is easier to now support your conversation of Isaiah 53. You understand, right? Easy to just go, sickness. But it's easy. Peter, that is reading Isaiah, make sure you understand that Isaiah is talking sins, oh. So he was bruised for our iniquity. By his stripes we are healed. In the same iniquity. You get that? In case you are not sure, look at the next verse. For ye were as what? Sheep. Is that animal? Is that animal? Is that an animal? Based on function. Based on name of Jesus. Based on function. Speaking about people. Are we here? So, for we are sheep. Sheep, the name, function. Functional, remember. Name, functional. Are we together? So, we are sheep. Going astray. Is that in sin? Is that in sin? But are now what? Return. Is that taken away from sin? Is that separated? Is that God divided light from darkness? And God called light day? Is that what we are seeing? So can you see the two series we are teaching? They are deliberately, they are interwoven, right? So he now says what? Returning or return unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. So by his stripes you are healed will be equal to you were a sheep that was in sickness as a parable for sin. Then Jesus bore that on his body and he has brought what? Reconciliation. What if he shall not tell you? He has quickened us as we were dead in sickness. Are we together? He has quickened us. So the quickening is a reconciliation, bringing us to the Father. And that is what you call what? Healing. Are we here? Are we here? Now, let's pay attention to a few more testimonies in the writings of the apostles. Okay? So run with me quickly to Mark 1. Mark 1:39. Let's read it quickly. Mark 1:39. Mark 1:39. Let's read Mark 1:39 quickly. We're going to open lots of scriptures. So I want you to write quickly and open quickly. Say write quickly. Say write quickly. Say I will write quickly and I will open quickly. So look at Mark 1. Mark 1:39. I'll start reading. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wills, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was what? Cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Now, look at verse 44. Please check verse 44. And he said unto him, what did he say? See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto you. Remember, we taught this on Sunday. The reason why a leprous man will go to the priest is because it's the priest that is the NCDC guy who validates the people who could enter the what? Temple. Because people with leprosy are considered as what? Outcasts. What did he say to him? Please, follow. Look at Mark 3. Mark 3, 7. Mark, just go to the next chapter. Mark 3, 7. I need to listen to this teaching again. After this teaching, okay? Look at Mark 3:7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idu. Look like an Igbo Yoruba area. So, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, and great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. Look at verse 9. What does it say in verse 9? It says, and he spake to disciples that the small sheep should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should what? Throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed him for to touch him, as many as flung. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him, what? Known. He charged them that they should not make him known. Is that and he charged them not to say anything about it? Is that it? Go to Matthew. Go to Luke 4. Look at Luke 4. Luke 4, 40, quickly. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Look at Luke 4, 40. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had been sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them all. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, allowed them not to what? He allowed them not to what? Speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. What is similar in these three books we've read? What's the common factor? He told them not to talk. Did you see that in the first one? Mark 1. Did you see that in Mark 3? He told them not to what? Say anything about. Do you see that here again? Now look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 4. Matthew chapter 8, verse 4. Or look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. Matthew 8 or 3. And Jesus said unto him, verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and what? Touched him, saying, I will, be thou what? Clean. And immediately the leprosy was what? Let's read verse 4 together. Matthew 8, 4, 1, 2, 3, go. And Jesus said unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer. So did Jesus say, tell no man? Why are you reading it? They wrote it and gave us. It was written. Are we following? What do we see in these four books we've read? Tell no man. Tell no man. Let's see a few more. Look at Luke 5, next chapter. Oh, look at Matthew 9:30. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Then touch ye their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Verse 30. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knows about it. Look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12:15. Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Verse 16. And he what? Charged them that they should not make him what? Known. Look at Matthew 16. You know, if we had not done this study, you would not have paid attention to the fact that he was constantly telling people, don't tell people. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16:20. Matthew 16:20. Then he charged disciples that they should tell no man that he was what? The Christ. Now go to Mark. Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. Quickly follow, quickly read. Mark 5:42 to 43. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that what? No man should know it, and he commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Is that similar again? Look at Mark chapter 8. Look at Mark 8. Mark 8:26. I hope you're following. Mark 8:26, verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. That's the man who was dealing with partial eye contact. Partial eye problem, rather. And I see men as trees. And after that, he put his hand again upon his eye. So Jesus laid hands twice. Is that not true? That means you can lay hand what? More than once. That he laid out twice doesn't mean it must not be more than two. Just learn that one. You are laughing. Okay. He laid hands again upon him and made the word there again is another time. Are we together? Yeah. And made him look up, and he was what? Restored. And he saw every man what? Let's read 26 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into town nor tell it to anyone in the town. Are you there? Look at Mark 7 before you continue from there. Mark 7:36. He says, and he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more the more a great deal they published it. So, did they publish it? Did he say charge no man? We've read like 10 books now. 10 scriptures, right? Look at another one. Look at Mark 9:30. Mark 9:30. Mark 9:29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should what? Know about it. Look at Mark 11:33. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answered and said unto them, neither do I tell you about authority. I do this. Matthew. Okay, go back to Mark 5. Let's go back to Mark 5 quickly. Mark 5:19. So, was it consistent in Jesus' ministry not to tell people the signs and wonders and miraculous? Was it? Look at Mark 5:19. Now, the question we're about to answer, we'll answer it right now. This was unique. He says, and when he came, verse 18, to the sheep, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might what? Be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and had had compassion on what? On thee. Now, why do you suppose it was consistent? It was deliberate about go show, don't show. Go. Remember, so this is the second person we are seeing today that he said go and show. Who is the first person? NCDC. Priest, right? He now tells this one, go show your friends. But we've read more often than not, he will say don't tell anyone. Why? This is important. This is what I'm about to say. Healing is a sign. Remember that? Why was he telling them not to preach or to speak about the signs? it is because the signs without the message is almost fruitless. Are you here? The signs without the message is almost fruitless. Or no matter, despite how beautiful the miracles are, the signs are, without the message, it's not a complete. Why? Because the signs will not have an eternal impact. He came such that man will receive it, something that is eternal. So will the signs give man eternal impact? Everybody Jesus sees, is there any of them that is allowed today? Alive today? In fact, is there anyone that really managed and now putting him in his own? Everybody's going to greet the person now. Are we together? So it means that the healing that he gave, there were signs and they did not have eternal impact. So why did he tell them not to tell anybody? Why? Because he expected, listen to me everyone, he expected that the healings will be doctrinally explained. Are we here? He expected that they would listen to the fulfillment of the message. Now, healings, he expects that those signs will be written having or when they've learned the doctrine of the message. Are we here? So it means that Jesus deliberately wanted the miracles and the messages to go hand in hand. Please write that in your notes. Jesus expected the miracles and the message to go hand in hand. So when they see the fulfillment, they can now write the miracles doctrinally. It was deliberate. It was deliberate. Very, very deliberate. Very, very deliberate. Very, very deliberate. So Jesus wanted the miracles and the messages to what? Go hand in hand. So when they will see the fulfillment of what the signs will point to, they can now write the miracles properly. You know, I've told you something. I owe us a teaching on the book of John. Now, amongst the numerous miracles that Jesus did, John picked only 7 to write about. So I'll teach you later, but let me just give you the 7 miracles in the book of John. Number one, quickly. Number one, you have the turning of water into wine at Cana. Number one, turning of water into wine. Number two, the healing of the nobleman's son, who was at the point of death. Number one, turning of water into wine, healing of nobleman's son. Number three, the healing of a man at the sheep gate pool. Number one, turning of water to wine. Are we together? Turning of water to wine. Number two, the healing of nobleman's son. Is that a sign? Are those signs? So turning of water to wine will be what Jesus will do in the resurrection. Turning of water to wine, would that be a sign of what Jesus will do in the resurrection? Hold on. Remember, we started teaching from Genesis that when Moses will say, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Are we here? Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let it be what? No. And the earth was without what? Form and void. Is that people? That God was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the what? Face of the what? Water. And we said people will earth will speak about people, nations, water will speak about what? Nations. Are we together? So when Jesus turns water to wine, it is what God plans to do with the nation of the earth in his resurrection, the new wine. So John will write that doctrinally. The second one, you will see, let me not teach it. So, second one, the healing of the woman. Number three, the healing of the man at the pool. Number four, that pool is the one people had to throw themselves in. Remember the doctrine that people wanted to, they say the spirit angel will come and stir the water. All together. Number four, the walking on water. Number five, the feeding of 5,000 with 12 basket overload. Number six, the healing of the man that was born blind. Number seven, the raising of what? Lazarus. It was very, very, very deliberate. Very, very deliberate. So Jesus had to teach the miracle appropriately as a message of faith, or he had to use them as signs to point to the message of the resurrection for man to have faith in. Altogether. So can we say Jesus had in mind that the miracles are explained properly? Are we here? Are we here? So Jesus wanted the miracles to be explained from properly. So listen to me, everyone. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Are we here? Are we here? Right, let me open up my mic. Are we here? Are we here? Can you hear me? Clearly? Lovely. What was I saying? Now, it's interesting to know, which I've said over time, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all written after the resurrection. Have you heard that before? I've said that before, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four encounters were written after Jesus had died and resurrected and finished teaching for 40 days. In fact, history has it that most of the epistles were already in circulation before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why do you suppose they waited till after? Because they had to have the doctrinal persuasions as to how to write it. Let me show you an example. That's why you see in John chapter 2. Quickly, let's read John 2. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at John 2. John 2, 13. And the Jewish Passover was at hand, John chapter 2, verse 13. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers of the money. Now verse 16, and he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of what? Merchandise. Are you there? Look at verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was what? Written that the zeal of thy father's house had what? Eaten me up. Are we together? And answered the Jew and said unto him, what sign showest this thing unto us, seeing that thou doest this thing? Jesus said unto them, what did he say? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will what? Raise it up. Where do you suppose they understood the doctrine of destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days? Look at the next verse. Then said the Jew, 46 years was this temple in building, and without raising it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his what? Body. Now look at verse 22. Everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. When therefore he was risen from the dead. Dear saints. Dear saints. Dear saints. When therefore he was risen from the... It's not like when it happened in John. This John 2. This is any part of John. It's not as soon as it happened in John 2. John will now say, ahead, ahead, ahead. When he... No. They wrote this after the resurrection. So he says, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples what? Remembered. So when you now go back to that place, when he says they remembered the zeal of my father's house, it's not immediately they remembered though. Abi? He says they remembered that the zeal of my father's house shall eat up. It's not immediately though. They had gone for 40 days back-to-back seminar. Are we together? Then in the resurrection, they saw the fulfillment of what all the signs point to. Are we together? And he now says what? Remember that he has said this unto them, and they believe the what? Are you in your Bibles? Don't look at me. Check your Bibles. And they believe what? The scriptures and the words which Jesus had said. So it means that Jesus deliberately asked them to wait. Are we together? So it means we have to pay attention to what was said alongside the miracles. Write down your notes. We are to pay attention to what was said. Now, remember, mind you, John 2 was just when the story of the conversion of water to wine had happened. Before you get to John chapter 3, when he talked about God so loved the world and all of that. Yeah, this is just after the wedding, John 2. Just after the wedding. You reach in John chapter 2, verse 1, and the third day was the marriage of Cana and all of that. So I'll close here. Are we here? So it means that we will read the miracles with a doctrinal slant. That's important to note again. We will read the miracles of Jesus with a doctrinal slant. So Jesus deliberately asked them to wait so that there can be the theology written alongside with the miracles. Are we together? Are we together? So can we see there is a didache in reading the miracles of Jesus? What's didache? Mode of reading. So there's a mode you need to use to read the miracles of Jesus. Because if you don't use that mode, you will think the message is healing. But Jesus deliberately asked them to wait to write the miracles hand in hand with the what? Message of the what? Resurrection. I'll close here. John 20. A man of my word. John chapter 20, 21, then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye what? Remit, they are what? Remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye what? Retain, they are what? Retained. Now look at verse 29. Then Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast what? Believed. Blessed are those that have not seen me and what? Believe. Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his what? Disciples, which were not written in this book. Now, is this John that wrote how many miracles? 7. So he wrote the 7 miracles alongside with the doctrine of Jesus. He now says, but these are written that you might what? Believe. That God has the power to heal. That God has the power to heal. Look at that again. He said these signs were written for you to believe. That Jesus is the what? So the signs were written for you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the what? Son of God, and that believing ye might what? Have life through his name. So the miracles were written as signs so that you might believe Jesus is the what? The Christ. In the real sense, was it to believe that God has the power to heal? Yes and no. Yes, in the reference to what? Spiritual healing. Let's close in Mark 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the what? World, and preach the gospel to every creature. What's the gospel? The gospel of remission of what? Sins. When the gospel of remission of sin is preached, right? Faith is in the atmosphere, and the power of God is what? Ready to what? Heal. What is to be preached? The gospel of the victory of the king, which is the good news proclaimed of the victory of the king. Are we together? So he now says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. Let's read 17 together as we close. 1, 2, 3, go. And these signs. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak new tongues. Verse 18. They shall what? Take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall what? Recover. Right? So when you lay hands on the sick, just after God's word is taught, what are you doing? You are giving direction to God's power that has already been available when the word was what? Taught, right? So, after this, the Lord has spoken unto them, then he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Can we say they went forth and preached everywhere the gospel of remission of sin? Altogether. And the Lord walking with them and confirming the words with what? Signs following. Are we together? Are we together? So the message of the resurrection is the same before the resurrection and after the what? Resurrection. So never at any time is the message of the resurrection about physical healing. But when the message of the resurrection is preached, the power of God is readily available to take care of any form of what? Physical healing. Have we had a good Bible seminar? I'll close here.